Welcome to the golf edition of Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's Summer Golf Wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define golf across South Australia and beyond. It's time to talk golf with sports commentator Ben Hook and State Golf Representative Sophie Hilditch.
Thanks, Wallace. Good evening, everyone. It is another episode of Hooked on Sport. We are talking about the Women's Australian Open. We've put the finishing touches on day three, and it is time to get all the expertise and insight from Sophie Hilditch. Soph, hello. You were out there this afternoon. What did you make of the day?
Yeah, I was out there. I was with one of my closest friends who is starting to get into the game of golf. She's only actually ever gone to two driving ranges in her life. And she was just excited whenever any of the girls got the ball in the air. So it was quite interesting, quite entertaining for me. I had to, you know, I was explaining what a par is, what a birdie is, what a green is, what a fairway is, how can we tell the difference? So I actually
This is how you and I started. You had to explain all of this stuff to me in the early days.
Or I had to tell you what golf was, Ben.
Correct. You've seen me play it and it's not golf.
But no, it was really fun. I had a great time with her. It's really entertaining watching someone get into golf for the first time and have those fresh eyes and just excitement and looking at all the girls playing and just being completely in awe. Whilst I feel like once you start playing the game of golf, sometimes you can get a bit lost and maybe not really appreciate some of the shots that they are hitting and only ever appreciate the ones that are about 2 foot from the pin. So it was fun to see it through some fresh eyes and someone just getting it into golf.
Let's talk about the tournament. Is it Hannah Green's to lose?
I would dare say it is definitely Hannah Green's to lose. She played impeccably today, four under, very stable round of golf as well. But I think she said it in her presser herself. She thought the greens were a bit more receptive than what she realised, particularly in comparison to Thursday and Friday. So she left quite a few shots out there. She came up short on quite a few holes, expecting that big first bounce and them to roll out. So I think it is Hannah Green's to lose. The one thing I was so impressed with Hannah Green, though, is her putting. It's impeccable out there. Whenever she had a 30 to 20 footer, she's just lagging it up to tap in range and tapping it in. It was one of the most stress-free rounds I've ever seen.
It looked for everything like the course was set up a little bit easier today. There are a lot more red numbers. There are a couple of players who shot well inside the mid-60s, which we hadn't really seen all week. So I felt like the course was deliberately set up on this particular day to try and get a bit of movement on the leaderboard happening.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that, Ben. There was a few tucked pins as well today. They tried to be a little bit tricky with the pin placements, which I think in turn means they've had to soften the greens a little bit so the girls can actually attack those greens and attack those pins. And to be fair, the girls did what the girls do and they took that as a green flag and started attacking pins, particularly people within that morning field who I thought were sitting out of the tournament with no wind. They managed to attack that course and go red and go under. I still think they're too far back, a lot of those girls, but they definitely made an attack. And it must have been a bit frustrating for some of the girls who went out a bit later, started to get a little bit of wind, but again, not much wind, but they didn't shoot as low as the girls in the morning.
So I think the fascinating thing about Hannah Green, and you know Cuyonga Golf Club as well as anyone who's not a member at that place, but she's gone 6 birdies, 2 bogeys. The 2 bogeys are on 8 and 10, two of the toughest holes on that course, particularly when they're playing into the prevailing southwesterly breeze as they did again today. But all of her birdies came from the holes that you would expect an elite player like her to try and take an advantage of. The par 5 second, the par 4 fourth, the par 4 fifth that are both gettable. Then she makes a par on 6 and a par on 7 that are treacherous holes. She birdies 9, which is the relatively straightforward par 5. She birdies 11, which is a pretty straightforward par 4. She birdies 16, which is another par 5. And all the way through the rest of that back 9, it's just par, par, par all the way home. Her capacity to avoid the big number on the toughest holes and take advantage of where she can score was second to none today, and it's why she finds herself only one shot ahead of second place but 4 shots ahead of third place right now.
Yeah, you're dead right. She did exactly what I've been harping on about for the entirety of this podcast in our recap. She took advantage of those par 5. She took advantage of her length. But other than that, Hannah Green has not been pulling out driver that much at Kyonga Golf Course because she doesn't need to. So she's taking shorter clubs off the tee, giving herself a number that she's comfortable with. And then honestly, a lot of the time that I saw her, I'd describe it as boring golf. When pins were tucked, she was just going middle of the green. I have a 15 foot. If I make the putt, that's a birdie, but I'm going to guarantee myself a par on this hole and I'm going to walk off content, happy, and I'm going to stick to that game plan for the entirety of the round.
She'll be partnered with Magdalena Simamarca, the Argentinian, who has surprised us all, I suppose. She shot 5 under today to be 8 under for the tournament, just 1 back from Hannah. Do you give her any chance in that final group where she is? It's, I tell you what it's going to feel like. It's going to feel like an Everton supporter walking into Liverpool Stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit intimidating. I'm super impressed with her round of 5 under, obviously. That's an incredible round. She was, I reckon, in either the last 5 groups. So she still had crowds surrounded by her, but it's noticeable. The difference between Hannah Green's crowds in comparison to some of the others, it's like bees following honey. All the crowds are just following her and they're all shouting out Hannah's name and they're all excited for her. It's going to be a totally different environment. And look, I wouldn't say she's out of it. She's obviously one shot back, but I do think it's going to be a challenge for her to overcome those crowds.
This is all in relative terms, Soph, but you've played some pretty high-stakes matches with a lot of people watching. This is not completely foreign to you, but at a slightly different level. We understand that. Is it a greater burden for Hannah to have those big crowds following her around, or is that something that she will thrive on this week or tomorrow?
Well, it swings both ways, right? Because it does add pressure for her. And she said it herself in a press conference at the end, it's going to be hard to avoid putting pressure on herself. And then she's going to come out and have crowds putting pressure on her too. We all want that Australian winner. And it's clear. You're listening to the commentation. They keep going on about how it's been 12 years since we've had a winner. And the last winner was Curry Webb. They're all Curry Webb scholarship recipients. And it's clear that that pressure is getting put on them whether or not they like it. So it can go both ways. But the one thing that I will say, and obviously it is completely different, the crowds that I have played in front of and for completely different stakes, but a crowd egging you on and showing you support, it does just give you that little bit boost. While it might add some pressure, I think the pressure is overcome by the amount of support and the amount of people cheering you on, and you want to do it not just for yourself, but you want to do it for them as well.
Sophie, late in yesterday's episode, I asked you to give me your top five, the five that you would think were most likely going to be involved in this tournament. You had a couple of hits, a couple of misses as well, but I think what's fascinating to me is that you left the leader, Celine Haban, out, and she probably repaid your lack of faith by blowing herself up a little bit today. You had Hannah Green, Agat Lanay, Kelsey Bennett, Minji Lee, who shot 77, and you had a disappointing day, and Darcy Harry. So Green and Lanay are still very much in this tournament. What if I asked you to come up with another top five at the end of round three? Who would you take out of Green, Lanay, Bennett, Lee, Harry, and who would you put in?
Well, my top five was quite disappointing, wasn't it? I only got 2 out of 3. Unfortunately, Minji really let me down with the 77. And I went and saw her playing. I mean, that swing is just, it's gorgeous. It's so impressive. My friend actually tried to replicate the swing, which I found quite entertaining. It was asking me about how you move your hips and how she does that so well. And her back just turns completely and then she just unravels. But she was obviously very disappointing and she looked disappointed at the end of the round. Hannah Green obviously still sticks in my top five. I really do think she's going to get the job done tomorrow. I would put money on her. She looks composed out there. She's got Jared Felton on her back. She looks comfortable with him. They're laughing and they're joking around. And I don't think it matters who Hannah is playing with. She has the crowd support and she looks like she's able to shut bits of that crowd support out that might be adding pressure, and just talking to Jared and talking to someone she obviously loves and feels very comfortable with. And they look like they're just having your standard chat. You know, what are we having for dinner tonight? Or are we going to go down to Glenelg and walk on the beach? Are we going to go and see a fringe show? It just looks very casual and very easy for her. I've got to admit, Agat Lene, she stays in that top five. It was another impressive round for her. I felt quite sorry for Agat Lene. I was actually watching her come down the 18th hole and she didn't hit that bad of an approach shot, but ended up excruciatingly plugged in the side of the bunker. She had her feet out of the bunker, has played what I thought was a pretty impressive shot to even get it out and get the height. And she's just dribbled into a back bunker and ended up short-sighted and ended up with a double on her card after having played so beautifully for the entire round. It was just so disappointing and a bit of what we all see in golf, a bit of bad luck, really. You don't expect to get completely, your ball just completely underground in a bunker and have your feet out and you're bending down for it. And it's just, it was, did you see that, Ben?
Yeah, look, I did. And I got to be honest with you, I don't want to start a fight here, but I do feel like Agat Lene's only got herself to blame there by putting her tee shot into that left bunker, which she had no business being in the first place. Yeah, I totally agree. Out of that bunker, which he hit into the greenside bunker and got that horrendous plug lie. I mean, that is brutally unlucky. But I just feel like that wasn't a time to push with driver that I'm pretty sure she took off that hole. That's just, you look at the way Hannah Green played it. You're in the third round. You've got a full round ahead of you. You didn't need to spend money on strokes there. That was just simply a three-wood, get it in the middle of the fairway, play your 9-iron to the middle of the green, two putts, get out of there, go home and start to think about what you're going to do the following day. Instead, she racks up a double. Yes, she had some bad luck along the way, but I feel like some of that is self-inflicted. And she paid the penalty by dropping from being right in and amongst it at 7-under to 5-under. So, look, I agree with you. Desperately unlucky. But at the same time, the tee shot, I think she paid. She paid a huge penalty for it, but there was a penalty to be paid.
Yeah, so I'm then going Cassandra Alexander. I'll make this quick. But she's obviously top 50 in the world. She's the South African. It's impressive to get to top 50 and not actually playing on the LPGA. That's super impressive. She's been solid throughout the entire tournament. She's had 5-under today. Super impressive. She's only 4 back. She's a big hitter. She's gorgeous to watch play. In fact, she's a very big hitter. So she is also coming at third that I think she might stand a chance. I've then got to hit up my Aussies. Karis Davidson, what a little comeback. Sitting at 4-under, super impressive. She actually finished her back nine with 4-under with 4 straight birdies in a row, birding both the par threes, 14 and 15, which I was so impressed with. They're tough holes, particularly that 15th hole, playing at about 165 metres for the girls. And it was a tough pin today. So Karis Davidson, Kirsten Rudgley, I still think she's had an impressive round. It was pretty, again, pretty boring. She's a lot of pars on her scorecard. She's only got the one birdie, which came at the first hole. So she must have been just so frustrated that she wasn't getting any other birdies on any of these other holes. And she's unfortunately finished 2 over through the back nine. But to sit in there and kind of ride that wave, and probably one of the first times that Kirsten Rudgley has played with crowds like she did with Hannah Green, and to still stay in it and stay in the competition, I think Kirsten Rudgley is definitely not out of it and comes up to make my fifth person that I think stands a chance.
Beautifully done. I'll only add to that. I reckon if the course is set up easy tomorrow, then Cass Alexander, the South African, is right in this up to her armpits. And if it's set up really tough tomorrow, then I would not rule out Kirsten Rudgley, because her capacity to plot her way around that place and not make mistakes when there are potential pitfalls and big numbers to be had, that they are the two, I reckon, at opposite ends of the spectrum. Easy course, Anderson. Tough course, Rudgley. They're the two that I think can potentially be a threat. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. So if this is Hannah Green, I mean, just on class alone, should win this pretty comfortably from here and become the fourth ever Australian to take out the Women's Australian Open. Mm-hmm. Who was the person who most impressed you today?
Hookie, I'm going Shannon Tan, your playing partner from the Pro-Am.
She wouldn't know my name. She didn't know my name an hour after we walked off the course.
Well, obviously some of the shots that you showed her unfortunately rubbed off in the first 36 holes, but after that she's really pulled in strong. She's actually 6-under through 24 holes. She was on the cusp of the cut line and she had to battle her way back in to make it. She now sits 2-under the card, 8 birdies on the scorecard. Absolutely unbelievable. She's a shorter hitter, So it's really impressive for her to get eight birdies around Kyonga. Obviously, those softer greens definitely would have helped someone like Shannon Tan coming in with more mid irons rather than those short clubs with girls like Hannah Green hitting pitching wedges and nine irons. But super impressive. She's actually shot herself into this tournament a little bit. I know it's still far back, but I mean, two under, if she does another good round and she has eight birdies and no blemishes on that scorecard, there's no reason that she might be able to play a little bit of catch up.
Yeah, well done, Soph. Special mention to Jana Melikova, the Czech, who shot 65 today, the low round of the day, 7 under. She added a double bogey on 8 in amongst all of that. An eagle on 2, another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 birdies, shot 30 on the back 9. So got herself into contention today. She's going to be a fascinating watch from here. Hey, the Crows have just won by 14 points at the MCG against Collingwood. Soph, as we go to air here. So that's always positive to see. Great win for the Adelaide Crows. That's your who impressed you the most? Who was your biggest disappointment?
Oh, my biggest disappointment was Kelsey Bennett. I really had bigger hopes for her this tournament. She was in fine form, obviously, coming in. And I said it last night on the pod. I was just a bit concerned about her. Her numbers were incorrect. She was overshooting greens, coming up short, and having to rely far too much on her short game, which is impeccable, but you cannot keep that up around Kyonga Golf Club if you were going to short side yourself. There's two triples on her card, Ben, and one of them comes from the second hole, par 5, and the other one comes from that difficult hole, the 8th hole, but she's now sitting 1 under. Obviously, still a good tournament for her and a good comeback, but I just don't think Kelsey, unfortunately, has her best stuff, and it really showed today.
Yeah, disappointing for her the week after having that win and her body language. And she is someone who always looks reasonably stoic and pretty calm and matter-of-fact about things, but she was clearly frustrated with herself today. You identified it yesterday, and it was something that I did not notice, was that she just didn't seem to be dialed in with her numbers. And yeah, that has certainly proven to be the case today. Sophie, the leader, Hannah Green is at 9 under. How far back is too far back?
For me, I think it's going to be hard work to catch up to Hannah Green. I think Hannah Green is going to come out strong again tomorrow. I think she's hungry for this win. So for me, I'm going a bit tight. I'm going 4 under. That's 5 back. Wow. I think that is as far back as you can get. That means Kirsten Rudgley and that means Karis Davidson are still in it. I know Shannon Tan, I said she could have an 8 under and it might happen, but I think it is too far reaching really if I think about it. So it's 4 under for me, 5 back. I think Hannah Green is going to come back with another 3 or 4 under, and that means those 4 under people are going to have to be shooting 8 or 9 under to catch up to her and potentially get in a playoff. So for me, 4 under, that's it. That only actually leaves us 7 players that I think are in contention.
Yeah, well, no, you're absolutely spot on. So what number do you think Hannah needs to get to ensure that everyone else can't catch her? What's the winning score?
Look, I said it yesterday and I called it before the rounds had even finished. I thought it was going to be at about 12 under, which means she's shooting 3 under tomorrow. I'm going to go up a little bit higher. I think 13 under gets the job done.
Okay, yeah, I think you're probably right. I feel like the only way that anyone else gets back into this tournament if Hannah Green comes back to them, and I don't know that I necessarily see that from Hannah right now. I'm going to shoot a couple of names at you, Soph, and you can tell me if you think they're in contention or if they are not going to be the Australian Open winner. Hannah Green obviously is a yes. Magdalena Simmermacher at 8 under, yes or no? Can she win it? Can't she?
Yes.
Cass Alexander at 5 under. Can she? Can't she?
100%. I think she can.
Agat Lanay, 5 under. Can she? Can't she?
Agat Lanay has been sticking up the tip with that leaderboard for a long time now. She's been there all 3 rounds. So Agat Lanay, 100%. I called her as one of my favourites. So how could I not back her now?
She's a no for me. Karis Davidson, 4 under. Yes or no?
No for me.
Kirsten Rudgley at 4 under, yes or no?
Yes for me.
Celine Haban at 4 under, yes or no?
No for me. I called it last night. I didn't think she'd be sticking around. I don't think she quite has it in her. I didn't see the best stuff from Celine. In fact, I think to stick at 4 under like she did was quite impressive around the greens.
So just before we go, I just want to share with you one little story that I think is very cool. There was And you know what it's like, right? I mean, you're a professional golfer, but you don't have the capacity to bring a full-time caddy with you around on tour, in particular to a place like Australia. So you just pick up a local. I thought it was fascinating the amount of, I guess, fringe players that picked up Cuyonga locals as caddies and have done particularly well in this tournament. Let me just share with you a couple of names. American Annika Borelli shot a classy 1-71 on Friday. Now, she's got Ross Steepman on her bag. He's the Cuyonga Golf Club's golf services manager and a good friend of this podcast. Czech player Clara Davidson-Splikova, she played her last seven holes on Friday in 3-under. She made the cut on the number. Heath Richards is carrying her bag. Now, how about this one? Gatlin A, who we've been talking about all through this episode, she's been caddied for by Ryan Doig, who's another Cuyonga pennant player. And former South Australian cricket captain Nathan Adcock, another Kiwi member again, he looped for England's Hannah Screen, and she was at 4-over after 36 holes as well. Now, I reckon it might be worth quarter shot, half shot, but I just wonder if the amount of Cuyonga members being on the bags of these girls have just maybe been the difference between making the cut and missing the cut. I think that would be... it's an unknowable, of course, but I just thought it was interesting that a few of these girls that were on the fringes, didn't really expect them to make the cut, are suddenly playing on the weekend. So there might be something in that, Soph.
Might be something in that. Maybe a gig for next year at Royal Adelaide, Hookie.
I tell you who should be carrying a bag, one S. Hilditch. If there's anyone who knows their way around that track, it's you, mate.
I don't know, 5'2" of me, hold the entire staff back, to be honest.
We've got 18 holes to go. Sophie, we will do it all again tomorrow night. There is no better insight in Australian women's golf than what you provide for us every night here at Hooked on Sport. Thanks for doing it all with us once again, and look forward to doing it again in 24 hours.
No, thanks so much, Hookie. Looking forward to seeing you out there tomorrow. The crowds are great. The sun will be shining. We might have a beer in our hands. How brilliant.
We will have earned it. Good on you, mate. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, Hookie.
With the last putt sunk, that's a wrap on this golf edition of Hooked on Sport. Thanks for listening. Help us meet more golfers just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company on the next golf edition of Hooked on Sport.